Thank you. So, Good Friday is a celebration of the cross. And you heard that right. A celebration of the cross, which sounds crazy when you think about it. I mean, we're celebrating a cross. I mean, the cross was hideously evil. I mean, they basically intentionally plotted to murder an innocent man. That's what goes on at the cross. That's the story of the cross. It's incredibly painful. There's suffering like you cannot believe at the cross. And yet the cross, along with the resurrection, was the greatest event in history, despite all of the evil that is in it. And it brought about a good that no man could ever accomplish through the cross. And so you know the story of the cross. We just read it. We've taught through it. And so you know the story. You know the trial, the beatings, the scourging, the mockery, the nails, the blood, the my God, why have you forsaken me? The Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The burial, the tomb. You know all of this. This is the story, right? You're familiar with the story. That's all what happened. But when we celebrate Good Friday, we don't do so simply because a man 2,000 years ago was crucified by Pontius Pilate. That's not what we're celebrating. We celebrate Good Friday not because of the details of the story, but because of what the cross accomplished, what the cross did. That's why we celebrate Good Friday. And that's what we're going to focus on today. We're not going to focus on the story. We're going to focus on what did the cross do? 1 John 4:10. So I passed out some scriptures to you. You're holding it there. That's going to be our text for today. That's in your hand right there. Somebody read it.
And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Okay. Now, I know that the word cross is not in that verse. But that verse is talking about the cross. The verse said, God sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Now, propitiation is a really big word, English word, that we probably need to talk about. And it means two things. Propitiation means two things. First thing it means is a propitiation is a payment to make right a wrong. That's what a propitiation is. It is an atonement, if you want to use that word. That would be apt for this. That is the cross. That is what the cross did. It was a payment to make right something that was wrong. The second thing a propitiation is, a propitiation is a punishment that alleviates wrath, anger. That is also the cross. So, what did the cross do then? God sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. It made right the evil of our sin, and it paid for our sin. So that's the first thing. So let me just kind of have you think through this. A man robs the bank. Just think of this. He's tried, he's found guilty. He must now pay for his sin. That's the way it works. So it is with you and me. We're just like that man who robbed the bank. And only we may not have robbed a bank. Our sins are different. You know, your sin is not robbing a bank. It's other stuff. But we have defied the living God. We have lived for ourselves and not for the creator of the universe. We have lived in greed, in selfishness. We have been angry at the wrong things. We have been proud of ourselves. You know, look what we have done. You know, we've done that. We've lusted. We've spoken unkind words. We've been bitter against our neighbors. We've disobeyed the plain teaching of Scripture. We have dishonored Christ. We have disregarded His authority. In our sin, we're just like that criminal, only we stand before a different judge, and we stand before him condemned and guilty. We have nothing that we can legitimately say to him on our behalf to reduce our guilt. Our guilt is great before the great judge of the universe. We are just like that bank robber before his judge. Guilty, completely deserving of the maximum sentence. That's where we are. And the sentence for dishonoring the living God is hell. That's what the sentence is. And we deserve it. But God sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. That's what that verse says. On the cross, Jesus made an atoning sacrifice for our sin. On the cross, Jesus paid for our sins. On the cross, Jesus made us right before God. On the cross, Jesus paid our penalty. On the cross, Jesus took on himself the full wrath of God for our sins. He was the propitiation for our sins. And a propitiation is a payment to make right something that's wrong. It's a punishment to alleviate wrath. Now, some people like to say that wrath is beneath God. Like, God, oh, God has wrath? No. God is loving. God doesn't have wrath. And they say God would never, ever do something like that. That's not true. And if you kind of think about it, you'll see why. Because when people talk that way, I think what they have in mind is some sort of petty anger that you and I often display. You know, we sometimes get angry, and it's petty. It's for the wrong reasons. It's just us being us. But that's not, and if that's what they mean by wrath, well, okay, I'll agree with them. That's, God doesn't do that. It's just, that's not what the Bible means when it talks about the wrath of God. So let me just ask you some questions. I'm going to ask you this. We're going to start here. Suppose I were to, you've got a notebook, and I were to take a piece of paper out of your notebook. I tear it out. I crumple up the piece of paper. I take a lighter and I light it, set it to fire and burn it. Would you be angry at me? You would? Just for a piece of paper? Okay. Suppose instead of a piece of paper, I go into your room and I get out of your drawer your favorite shirt. And I do the same thing. I burn your favorite shirt. Are you angry with me? You're angry with me. Suppose instead of your favorite shirt, I now go to where you live, your apartment, your house, and I take your car and I pour gasoline all over your car and I then light it and your car goes up in flames and I ruin your car. Are you angry with me? You are. Should you be? You should be. Suppose instead of your car, I now take someone you really love, your spouse, your son, your daughter, your father, your mother, your brother, a sister, a close friend, and I pour gasoline on them. And I just light it. And I completely destroy them. Are you angry at me? You are. Is it right for you to be angry at me? Okay. So here's the deal. The more you value something, the angrier you are when it is destroyed. It's true. Wrath cannot exist apart from love. The more you love something, the more angry you are when it's ruined. Love and wrath go together. You can't separate them and say, oh, God is too loving to be wrathful. That makes no sense at all. Love, it's like a coin. Love is heads, wrath is tails. It's the same coin. It's a different side of the same coin, but it's the same coin. When people say wrath is beneath God, what they are also saying is that love is beneath God. Because the only way God can have no wrath is if he has no love. If he really doesn't love us, then when we're ruined, well, no big deal. It wasn't something he loved. Okay, great. The problem is God does love. And he loves passionately. And he loves you passionately. And what that means is that whatever ruins you makes him very angry. Because he made you and he loves you. And when you are destroyed, he hates that. And here's the deal. Sin ruins you. It ruins you before God. He did not make you for sin. He made you for something else. And sin comes in and just destroys it. And God is angry at your sin because your sin destroys your own soul. And the wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness, how Paul puts it in Romans 1. The wrath of God is revealed against all sin. It's revealed against all sin. The wrath of God comes against sin. And it comes against all who sin. And it's right because he loves you. The wrath of God is poured out on us because when we sin, we have ruined something very precious to God. Very precious. But God sent his own Son to be a propitiation for our sins. That's what that verse says. The wrath of God, which you and I justly deserve, was poured out on the cross. The wrath of God actually is getting satisfied. Jesus absorbed it. What that means is that through the cross, in Christ, God is not angry at you. He should be, but he's not. Because the cross has absorbed that. And so you don't have to worry about God being angry at you. He does have wrath. He does have wrath at sin. And you have sinned. But the cross has taken that. The wrath of God is gone because of the cross. And you and I should bear the wrath of God. And let me tell you something, that is no light thing that we should bear the wrath of God. But instead, the cross has borne the wrath of God. Praise the Lord. God has sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Now, why did he do this? It's actually in that verse. Look at the verse again. And you tell me, why did God do this? Why did God send his Son to be a propitiation for our sins? From that verse.
Because he loved us.
Because he loved us. That's what the verse says.
John 3:16.
That's right. And so, and this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and has sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. This idea of Jesus being this propitiation is tied up with the love of God. That's why he did it. In other words, the cross is the love of God. God came, and on the cross, he paid for our sin because he loves us. That's why he did it. God atoned for your sins. That's what a propitiation is. He atoned for your sins because he loves you. God was punished for your sin because he loves you. God has released his wrath on the cross because he loves you. This is Good Friday. That's what Good Friday is about. The cross is the love of God. There is no greater example of the love of God anywhere in the world than at Calvary. That's where you see it in all of its fullness. No other religion, no other belief system has anything like this at all. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is the cross. That is the love of God. Now, part of celebrating the cross is to participate together in his body and his blood. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're just going to celebrate communion together.